Cincinnati. And welcome to episode 251 of Cincinnati, the Bengals UK podcast. My name is Paul Irons.
Wait, one second.
That's
one second.
Nathan Palmer. Hello, Nathan. Hold on a minute.
Episode 251. I think you might be one out, my son.
Yes, the 250th. Right, made a bit of a show and a dance about that, saying that we're gonna, you know, put up the podcast fireworks, so to speak, bring out the big guns, bring out the pyrotechnics. Well, I've been ill for the past week, Nathan, and I haven't had a chance to put much work into anything. So you're trying to
pull the wool over our listeners' eyes?
Basically, yeah. So the plan is this, Nathan, if it gets royal approval, I think what we'll do is we're going to crack on, right? Because it's the draft and we won't be able to take a pause, and we've got lots of important things to talk about. But then when the draft is over, we'll go back and bring out episode 250. So we're altering the timeline, Nathan. We can do that. We've gone all TARDIS-y on our listeners' arses there. We've kind of jumping up and down the timeline like time travellers, Nathan.
We're dipping into our overdraft of podcast episodes, aren't we?
Exactly,
it's sort of like taking away episodes that we haven't got yet. But no, I'm with it, son. I agree. I think we need a bit of a celebratory episode 250. I think this time of the year is a bit mental, isn't it? With a draft about a week and a half away. So I like your style there, trying to sort of save it up for a bit more of a celebratory occasion in the off season. When we've got a bit more time, we can get a bit more big old guest, hopefully, to headline.
We do have a big guest in waiting in the wings, but I just thought, you know, I'm a bit poorly, I'm not feeling great, and let's just, you know, because we're well known for innovative approaches to podcasting, Nathan, and this is, next week, why don't we go way into the future and do episode 673? We could do that if we wanted to.
When the Bengals are seven-time Super Bowl champions.
Exactly. It's like my retro, I've mentioned this before, but have you ever played Retro Bowl on your internet telephone there? Have you ever
Retro Bowl?
It's a Retro Bowl. It's just an American football game. It's an NFL game, but it's kind of 8-bit and it's kind of cute and nasty. Basically, let me just try and... So obviously I am the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. Retro Bowl. Let's have a look at my record, shall we, Nathan?
Yeah,
you can hear it in the background there. All the fame.
No, I can't hear it.
Can you not?
No.
Hold on.
Right, there we go.
So my name is Rahisan Shitters. And I've won 9 Super Bowls on the bounce, and the past, the one that I was before, Simon Titt, I won like 48 Super Bowls in a row, and anyway, so maybe we could do that. Maybe that's going to happen. 42. Maybe we could. Do you envisage us doing this podcast 42 years into the future? Do you think?
I mean, there's a decent chance you might be brown bread in 42 years.
Yeah, all right.
But I could be as well.
Right. Well, yeah, you could be. I mean, we might.
I mean, I'm just gone, what am I, 34? Next week I'm 34. I'm 34.
Well, there you go.
But at 42 years, I mean, yeah, you're going to be looking like...
70s.
Late 70s.
I'll probably be in my my early 60s by then, I would imagine, maybe. Yeah, God, can you imagine me doing this at 90? Can you imagine?
Well, you would genuinely be nearly 90 in 40 years, which is not many people may get to 90, but hopefully modern advances in medicine, son, you'll be fighting fit.
I'll be the bionic man. Maybe they can just cryogenically freeze my voice and just roll it out for the podcast once a week.
What we could do is we get AI technology to listen to this podcast.
Don't. I've been doing some extraordinary things. I've just been playing around with music, the sort of text to music AI generator, and I know lots of people out there hate AI, and I'm sort of in two minds about it. I know that you're very fascinated by AI, and I am too. And but yeah, God, what they can do in music at the moment, God, they could come up with just AI versions of you and me and just keep this podcast rolling for 1,000 years, Nathan. And it would probably be better than what we would.
And it'd save us an hour and a half a week filming it, you editing it, we just let them to do it and we're off.
Oh my God, can you imagine? We'll be on some sort of spaceship cruise liner, putting our feet up and drinking margaritas around the planet Wappy Dap Dap Dip in the Falut system, I think. Don't you think that would be amazing? They just get AI to do the podcast, as I say. But would AI come up with something like soup or poop, do you think, Nathan?
I think it came up with what did we ask you to do the other week when we were stuck, couldn't we, before? Yeah. What could we call that free agency game? It managed to come up with, what was it?
Roster roulette. That's not bad. That wasn't bad, to be fair. That wasn't. But it's not. It's no. What would Lou do? Or pick six?
No. What would Lou do? Good.
Or first and ten. You know. So it's got a bit of a while to catch up yet. But no doubt we'll all. We'll be losing our jobs and our existences within the next 10 years. So that's something to look forward to. But we'll keep going, Nathan, won't we? Right, it is, what is it now? Monday the 15th of April, 2024. Welcome to Cincinnati, as we mentioned earlier. We're less than 2 weeks away from the draft. Probably about a week and a half away from the draft, which is insane. Next week we've got Joe Goodbury making his annual stop in to Cincinnati, so looking forward to that very much. But any news to report, Nathan? Well, T. Higgins has come out. He had his kind of football camp for kids yesterday in Cincinnati, and he kind of said that he expects to be playing for the Bengals next season, which is great news. Joe Bacci and Carl Adomitis, as I like to call him, have signed one-year deals. The lads are back in the building today, so we've seen a few locker room interviews with the likes of Dax Hill and Von Bell today, and Zach's been speaking to the media about off-season programs, and everything begins today, really. So that's... it's exciting, really. It feels like spring. Well, I say it feels like spring. There was horizontal rain this morning where I was living, so and hailstones. So I don't know. The weather's been very all over the shop in the States as well. So it doesn't quite feel like spring, but it kind of does. The nights are getting lighter, and the draft is around the corner. We'll know soon. The fixture list as well, and that's all going to be exciting. So yeah, just covering the news, really. Any comments on that news, Nathan?
It's good news with T. Higgins, isn't it? I think a lot of people were a bit concerned about that, and I think they made a big song and a dance for it in the media. You have to take your hat off to T. Higgins' agent on the way that he conducts his business. It was very deliberate, that whole timing of the him requesting a trade a day or two before free agency to try and force the Bengals' hand a bit, cause a bit of a stir. In the press, he knows what he's doing. He's a smart guy. He's trying to get the best for his client, and that is going to unsettle the Bengals fans, the team, to try and make sure that we get T. Higgins on the pitch next year, because I think we're miles better off with him on the team. You know, I don't know, there's talk about like, oh, what if we trade him to New England, what if we get this pick and that pick and all the rest of it. The reality is T. Higgins is a very, very one of the best number two receivers in the league at the very, you know, maybe sort of middle to late number one sort of standard receiver. And if you pair him with Ja'Marr Chase and they both play 17 games next year, you're going to have extraordinary levels of production with them there. It's a nightmare for opposing defenses. So I don't want to muck around and try and take a punt on a late first, early second round pick, in my opinion. I'd rather keep T for another year, keep the gang together and push on. So I'm really pleased that he's basically come out and said, look, yeah, I am going to play, and isn't trying to sort of, you know, up the ante with anything. So that's really positive news, isn't it, I think?
What do you make of these rumours? And they're not even rumours, it's just chitter-chatter, really, about Justin Jefferson and the Bengals. I mean, what do you make of those? It's just fans gone mad, hasn't it?
It's just a big wet dream, isn't it? I mean, I think, you know, there's a reason. NFL fans, they love that side of the game, don't they? Like, everyone that came out the other day, there was some big Bengals fan, like, you know, who would you rather draft? And it was like a tournament style thing on Twitter.
Yeah, bracket, I think the Americans call
it. Yeah, brackets, exactly. And then who came out first? Brock Bowers. Because people love the idea of, you know,
weapons. It's James Rapine ball, basically. Yeah, it's Rapine ball.
That's what I mean. It's just like you want your big weapons down there. You can't have too many, you know, forget about everything else kind of vibe. That's what fans love to see. And I think the idea of bringing in arguably the best receiver in the NFL, Justin Jefferson, to reunite with Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase is an absolutely outrageous thought. I mean, I bet Justin Jefferson would love it. The Bengals would love it. I just don't think, I mean, you'd have to trade half the house to Minnesota to make something like that happen.
Well, you trade them T and another, maybe you trade them T and an their first round pick at 18, maybe that extra third as well.
I think you'd need more than that. Really? I genuinely think you'd need T, the first pick this year, and maybe the first pick next year, and then a third. I think it'd be a lot.
I'll just say this. If they're not prepared to pay T Higgins as well as Ja'Marr Chase, they are not even going to think about paying Justin Jefferson. Do you know what I mean? And Ja'Marr Chase. We've got a question about money later, so we'll keep our powder dry for that. But they're not going to do that. If they're struggling with the concept of paying T, then they ain't going to pay Justin Jefferson, who's liable to go for another $10 million on top of T, really.
If you believe the rumours, there was chatter around like Ja'Marr Chase and Burrow restructuring their deals to make it happen and willing to take a bit less money to have that sort of firepower. But I don't think it's particularly realistic. I don't know. Minnesota won't want to give their face of the franchise away either. But you just have to salivate at the proposition of Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson there with Mike Gesicki playing tight end. I mean, that's an absolutely outrageous situation that you'd find yourself in.
Yeah, sexy dreams, Nathan, sexy dreams. Right, this is what's happening in this episode. Me and Nathan are going to do a mock draft, because why not? Because everyone else is, and we're going to do it as well, but we're going to do it in our own way for the full seven rounds. Nathan, are you ready for this?
I'm excited. I want to, like, you know, we're going to come away with this, and we're going to put, after all the 250 odd episodes on Cincinnati, our brains to the test to see if we can outperform Duke Tobin and the Bengals top brass.
Exactly. Duke and Steve Radicevic and Mike Potts and all those guys up in the front office in the scouting department. You've been put on notice, lads, because me and Nathan are coming for your job. So let's have a crack at this, Nathan, shall we?
Right. Cincinnati.
Right, here we go. Here we go. We're not going to do trades, right, Nathan? We're not going to bother with trades.
Nah.
No. Too complicated.
No.
Right, so let's just have a run through what people have taken before us. Top pick, Caleb Williams for the Bears, for Da Bears. Drake May at 2 for the Washingtons. Jaden Daniels to the Pats at 3. So three quarterbacks off the board. Joe Alt, the first offensive lineman, goes to Tennessee at number 7. Dallas Taylor, we've got Roma Dunze going to Chicago for their second first round pick. Now then, we get a little bit of a thing going on with the offensive linemen. Number 10, the Jets have got Olifashinu, Leatu Latu goes 12 to the Broncos. Amarius Mims is at has gone to the Raiders at number 13. And the first cornerback of the first round, Terrion Arnold, from Alabama, has gone to the Saints. Now then, 15, Brock Bowers is off the board. He's gone to the Colts. And Johnny Jazane Newton is off the board as well, going to the Seahawks at 16. So that leaves us, Nathan, with actually looking at this. This is quite a handy selection, right? So we have got to choose from Talisi Fuaga, Troy Fortenu, J.C. Latham, Brian Thomas Jr., Byron Murphy, and then we've got Chop Robinson, Nate Wiggins, Cooper DeJean, and Graham Barton. Now, my initial reaction is, great, my favourite offensive lineman is right there. My favourite offensive lineman of the whole class is right there. And then my second favourite offensive lineman is right there. But then you've got like the little bit of wild cardiness of Brian Thomas, the wide receiver. And then, of course, you've got this heavily touted defensive tackle in Byron Murphy, the second from Texas. Nathan, what's your reading of the choices there?
Well, I think you're bang on in the sense that if this was the case on draft day, you'd be quite pleased because you've got quite a few options here. You've got three quality offensive linemen in Fuaga, Faltanu and Latham. I mean, Latham for me is probably my favourite out of those three. But again, I think you're getting a very good player there. Byron Murphy is very tempting, isn't he? He's a quality talent. It's a position of need. A lot of people have got him going ahead of where we're picking normally in mock drafts. That's good value. The guy I love, more and more so, Cooper DeJean. The more I watched of him, all that pro day did was outrageous. He just looks like such a natural athlete. It's unbelievable. He could probably play safety. He returns punts. I think he's rising up draft boards a lot. I mentioned it, I think it was last week or the week before, about him moving up. I think on draft day he might well go before we pick. He's someone I'd be very, very interested in, but it's a bit of a gamble and not exactly our most obvious position of need. I definitely don't think you'd take Brian Thomas. I don't think there's any reason that we'd do that. That'd be a very sort of unnecessarily risky move with the options we've got here. But what are you saying, Sam?
For me, it's a choice between Fuaga and Latham for me. Fuaga is my favourite offensive lineman of this draft, no question about it.
Tell me why.
Well, he's 6'6", I believe. He's nasty. He's got good feet. He's just everything that you want in a tackle, basically. And as I say, he's got, from what I read and what I've seen, he's got that nasty streak. He really finishes blocks nicely. I think Latham is just a half a notch down. But the intriguing thing about Latham is that he's played right tackle for a lot of his college career. And he looks to be quite a polished prospect, really. Fortenu, I think, or Fautenu, however you pronounce him. Again, highly rated, but I think the consensus is that, and this is no knock on him, the consensus is that he'll move inside to guard. So, if I had a choice, I'd go for Fuaga, but I like the idea of Latham. Everything that I've read and seen says he's a really polished guy. He can slot in at right tackle pretty much straight away. And that's really enticing, I think. Some people out there will be kind of like, well, hold on a minute. We just signed Trent Brown, right? So what the hell do we need a tackle for? But, you know, Trent Brown, for all his very consistent and solid play, has not seen, you know, he hasn't kind of managed to last the full season for a couple of seasons now. So I think whoever you're going to go for in that first round, or if you do select an offensive tackle, for instance, he is going to see, I think he's going to see some action this year, you know. I might be wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong. But even if so, but you can sit in behind Trent Brown. So yeah, it's a toss up between Fraga and Latham for me.
You're not tempted by Murphy?
Yeah, I am. I am tempted, but I think I mentioned last week, I just think if you don't select an offensive lineman in the first round, right? The drop off, there's going to be about at least half a dozen tackles that go in the first round, I reckon. And I think after that there's a big drop off, but there are some interesting players on the defensive line in rounds 2 and 3 as well. So I think the depth is better at defensive tackle, but not so much at offensive tackle, where it's very top loaded. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So come on then, so Fuaga or Latham? What are you saying?
I would lean towards Latham. I know a few other people think Fuaga is the better player, but I know you're quite keen on Fuaga, so I'm more than happy to go with you on this, son, and take the best player on the board in this situation, which fills a position of need in Talise Fuaga from Oregon State.
Okay, Talise, come on down, my son. You're a new Bengal, and he was the 14th rated player. So let's press draft, and Fuaga is
there. We go,
boy. So we get into the second round now. Lots of chat about some wide receivers here to beef up the depth. Perhaps a cornerback, and then we might be looking at some defensive tackles here. So we've got. Let's have a look. We've got Michael Penix Jr. at 29. That's not really for us. Quarterback from Washington. Adisa Isaac, the edge rusher from Penn State. Troy Franklin, wide receiver from Oregon. Cooper Beebe, the guard from Kansas State. Ennis Rakestraw, a
solid handle.
Cornerback from Missouri. Leonard Taylor, the third, a defensive tackle from Miami. Chris Braswell. And Patrick Paul is down there at 55, a tackle. Now then, this is where you're getting a bit... I like Jalen Polk. He's a wide receiver at 56. And Michael Hall Jr., a defensive tackle from Ohio State. And I'm just seeing, 61, Chris Jenkins. Chris Jenkins, defensive tackle from Michigan, is kind of my boy. That's going to be not stretched too much, I don't think, but anything that you've got your eye on there. I mean, Troy Franklin sounds 6'1", long strider, exceptional vertical range, it says, hyper explosive athlete.
I don't think, for me, that we need to be taking a wide receiver. If T. Higgins is going to play, you've got Chase and Higgins, I don't think we need to be going in there with a wide receiver in the first three rounds, in my opinion. I know, obviously, Tyler Boyd's gone, but there's still some half-decent wide receiver options out there in free agency if you just needed to fill a few gaps. You've got some young players that you'd like to see step up. I think we'll be all right with that, especially when you added Mike Gesicki to the frame in terms of taking up some snaps there. So I don't think that's a position of need. Not that it's not a position of need. You know, we could always use another player there. But I think you've got to look probably more to the defensive side of the ball here and try and plug a bit of a gap on that defensive line.
But there is the argument out there that this is a deep wide receiver class, and why not make hay while this class is so deep and so talented? You know, we do need a Tyler Boyd replacement. People seem to be forgetting about Charlie Jones and
Yoshivash,
but a lot of people are making the argument that we do need to take advantage of this wide receiver class.
We need to get a bit faster, don't we? That was always the thing with Tyler Boyd, potential. And as good as T and Jamar Chase are, neither one of them is necessarily like a 4.3, 40-yard dash type of guy, with the league seemingly always to be getting quicker and quicker. So I do understand the logic of that. But I think, for me, it's probably more a guy on the defensive side of things. So,
let's have a look then. We've got Adisa Isaac, which I've never heard of. It's sort of names coming out from nowhere, really. Let's have a look. Adisa Isaac, 6'4", DraftBuzz, my go-to sort of scouting site, says gives him an 86 out of 100, which is a really good score. So that's an enticing 6'4". Oh, that's a big lad, isn't it? Bloody hell. and then you've got Leonard Taylor, defensive tackle, sports a lean, well-leveraged frame with efficient mass and elite proportional length. Explosive athlete, lightning quick reaction speed. So he's an option, I guess. What position? You fancy a defensive tackle here?
I think defensive tackle, for me, makes the most sense. I don't think any other position here. I mean, I think wide receiver, like you said, is a possibility, but I wouldn't go there. Tight end, there's no good tight ends in this that are worth selecting. I think where we're picking now, that in terms of value, I mean, cornerback's always one potentially, but I think you're looking probably defensive line for this pick.
Right, so defensive tackle is available at 49. Leonard Taylor is the 52. Michael Hall, 57. Chris Jenkins, 61. Braden Fisk, 66. And Mason Smith, 84. So, you know, you can probably discount, but I would have my eye on those. Certainly Hall and Jenkins, I think.
Well, not a lot of people have talked about that Tavondre Sweat, haven't they?
He's dropped right down. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? That was the other piece of big news that came out. Yeah. Tavondre Sweat was busted for some sort of driving under the influence. Silly boy. 2 weeks before the draft. Something that's going to change your life. He probably will get drafted at some point, but I would look at how far he's dropped. He was a shoo-in second rounder, I would say.
Do you know what was a really interesting point on that is Mike Florio was talking about it in one of his articles, and he was like, apparently, he was quite over the limit to Tavondre Sweat. Florio was saying that for a man his size to be drunk, you think how many pints that he would need to have consumed? And that's the thing, isn't it? Like, he must have, to get someone like, he's about 300 pounds, isn't he? Six foot two or something. It must, for someone like that, you've got to be looking at like 10, 15 pints to get him into a pretty bad state, you think?
I reckon that would just about, it's like, I don't reckon that.
Like 366. I mean, that's outrageous.
366 pounds? I reckon he's got to be nudging 20 pints. Got to be.
Yeah.
Maybe like half a bottle of whiskey as well, if he's like feeling keen. But anyway, silly boy. Right before the draft. I mean, come on. Yeah. You know, that's got to be red. That's like red flag.
Let's get him in.
Let's
take a punt on him. He can have 15, 20 pints before he plays the Steelers. Get him out there on the pitch.
Just be a wrecking ball. Really drunk wrecking ball. It'd be entertaining, I think. It would be. Actually, just like feeding crisps on the sideline when he comes 6'4", off.
6'4", 366 pounds is absolutely mental, isn't it?
Yeah, and he gets a good grade as a player, but, you know. There we go. Right, come
you
on.
You like Chris Jenkins, don't you?
I do like Chris Jenkins. I think it's what we could need, but 61 to 49, is that too much of a reach, do you think? 20 places? Well, no, it's about 10 places. But, you know, I'm intrigued by wide receiver in the second round, I have to say. But I agree with you. So, yeah, your choice, man. What do you think?
I'm going to go with you, sir. Let's go Chris Jenkins. Come on.
All right. Chris Jenkins. Let's have a look. See what he says. Let's have a look at the plus. Tough against the run. Hard to push around due to his solid stance and strength. He's got strong punch at the line. Can really hold his own and push back against against big offensive linemen. Good at reading and reacting to blockers' moves. Doesn't get forward easily and holds his ground. So, you know, lots of stuff. And... there's a few weaknesses there, but, you know, I think that's a solid pick. That's a solid pick. So we come into the third round, Nathan. Let's have a look. Michael Penix, the 29th rated player, the quarterback, is there.
Let's talk about him getting to the Raiders at 13.
That's right. Yeah.
Man, that's outrageous.
Right. Cedric Van Pranganga. Granger. Hold on. Cedric Van Pranganga. The offensive centre at Georgia. Now, there is some chat about the Bengals having an eye on interior offensive line as well. So, and with Ted Karras out of contract at the end of this season, this upcoming season, I would say, maybe getting his successor in wouldn't be a bad shout at this stage. I don't know. So let's have a look. We've got Brandon Dawless, edge rusher, 69. Cedric Van Pran Granger, 71. Will Shipley, 78, a running back from Clemson. Javon Bullard, 80, safety from Georgia. Mason Smith, defensive tackle from LSU. Blake Corum, a very tiny running back from Michigan. Roger Rosengarten, an offensive tackle from Washington. And DJ James, a cornerback. Renardo Green, we've got a few others. Sweat is still there at 93. Johnny Wilson. So as you can see, the wide receivers have shot off the board.
Where would you take Tavondre Sweat? If he was still, at what point in the draft would you be willing to take a bump on that?
Fifth? Sixth?
No, see, I'd go fourth. If he's still there in the fourth round, yeah, no doubt. Like, I think if you can get a second round talent in round four, like, I'd be up for doing that.
Right, where are you going, Nathan, for three? We've got some edge rushers. We've got a running back or two. We've got another defensive lineman. Tricky
Let's think about position first here. So we've got an offensive tackle in Fuaga. That's quality. We've got a good defensive tackle in Chris Jenkins from Michigan. So what other positions? I mean, running back, I don't see the need to be going anywhere with that. I think
agree.
What we've got there, Chase Brown and Zach Moss is great. That's a solid option. I think we'd be silly to use a third round pick on a running back now. Not just for his name, but Cedric Van Pran Granger, like you said. Obviously there's a few contracts there on the offensive line coming up, like, you know, it wouldn't be a bad
but I think you can you can nab an interior dude a bit later on. I would either double up for with another defensive tackle, or I would start looking at cornerbacks.
Here. What cornerbacks have we got? Let's have a look at cornerback here then. What we got in terms of that?
DJ James at, what is he? 88. Renardo Green at 89. Mike Sainris still. Now, there's been a lot of chat with him, but he's 98. Again, it's almost 20 places below where we are, so it would be a tiny bit of a reach. I like Andrew Phillips, and I like Cam Hart, and I like MJ Devonshire, and a few others down there. So I think, you know, the mid rounds we can get a half decent dude, actually. The trouble is at the moment DJ Reader it's on the brain. DJ's on the brain, man. I've got to get used to that, Nathan. I've got to let him go. DJ Turner is currently our starting cornerback, one of them, with Cam Taylor Britt. I'm a bit nervous about that, actually. So I think there is a chance that we will sign a veteran between now and the start of the season from free agency. I don't think there's any danger of that. But I wonder whether we could, you know, Sainris still. It seems like everybody wants Mike Sainris still. He could be Mike Hilton's heir apparent in that slot.
Double dipping from Michigan.
Just to piss Harbaugh off in the Chargers. Mason Smith has a lot of upside. I've been reading, very athletic dude, very versatile. I like McKinley Jackson. He's at 104. He's another nose tackle, but we've kind of got a nose tackle now with Chris Jenkins. So, although he does a bit more than that, so yeah, it's a tricky one. This one,
I'm liking for value Van Pran Granger. He's a 71 ranked player. I think we've got another player on the offensive line. Get another big bloke, 6'4", 300 pounds. I don't think that'd be a bad, bit of depth on the line. You never have enough people in the trenches.
And remember, we've got two picks in this third round as well.
Exactly that.
All right.
And I think if Sweat's there at the end, even at the end of this third round, that you'd have to think about him, that you'd be really bolstering the trenches at that point. And then later on in the draft, you can just, you know, slightly more luxury. We could look at a running back, maybe. We need a corner, probably a bit of a priority. But I think this would be an interesting pick to chuck him in there. He's not going to start. He's not going to, you know, be needed necessarily next season unless there's an injury. But I think maybe, you know, if he's ranked 71st player, like Georgia, you know, obviously used to winning, I don't think he'd be a bad shout.
Right, Cedric, Van, Pran, Granger, try fitting that on the back of a shirt, Nathan. Blimey. VPG. Oh, we've got to call him VPG from now on. VPG. You're not just choosing because of his solid handle?
Well, I'm not going to lie. That probably makes up 5% of the reason why.
Scout report, to be fair, the scout report does sound pretty good on Pro Football.
Erupts off the snap with ruthless energy and urgency.
I wish you did that, Nathan. I wish you'd erupt with relentless energy. Bloody hell. And urgency. He's always on the attack. Always in. Has the lateral explosion of to get outside the two technique off the snap and seal gaps. Let's do it. Let's go for Cedric Van Pran Granger. He is a Bengal, Nathan.
There we go. Massive.
Right, our second pick in the third round. We're just, well, what do you know? What do you know?
He's still there.
I think it comes down to two fellas, Tavondre Sweat and Mike Sainristil still.
Yeah. No. Oh.
Here we got at the moment. Let's just go through real quick. Renardo Green. We've got Jeremiah Trotter at linebacker. This is for our 97, pick 97. Jeremiah Trotter, Renardo Green, cornerback, Tavondre Sweat, pisshead from Texas, Braylon Allen, running back, Johnny Wilson, wide receiver, Austin Booker, edge, Mike Sainristil, cornerback, Dadrian Taylor Demison, safety, Bucky Irving,
solid handle,
running back, and so on and so forth. I think you might be right, Nathan.
So the thing is, if we get Sainristil, from a like needs perspective, we've got that covered very nicely, don't we?
I agree. And also, Dax Hill might end up playing as the slot corner behind Mike Hilton this year. So I don't know. But, you know, Sainristil is tempting because of his outrageous ability, springy, explosive and energetic athlete, Nathan. Shows impressive adaptability with his technique, intelligence, reaction speed. He's a ball hawk and loads.
Former
of,
receiver.
Oh, I like that guy. But Tavondre Sweat, like you're saying, that's in a real position of need, I think. And what do you reckon? It's tempting, isn't it? Just got to keep him away from like the banks on a Friday night. Do you know what I mean?
Click on Sweat's strengths again. Let's just have a look at that. I mean, I know he's an absolute monster.
Absolutely massive bastard whose size renders him almost immovable. Has very good initial burst for his side, hinting at unrevealed disruptive potential. Unrevealed disruptive potential? They're even giving us like a cliffhanger there. With his frame density, mass, leverage and strength can function as a brick wall. I mean, that's not us making... That is an actual scouting report, so...
Do you worry about a player like that?
Yes.
6'4", 366 pounds. On the basis of injuries more than anything else.
Injuries, I mean, that's and also, I'm going to give you a name from the very recent past. Tyler Shelvin.
Yeah.
But everything sort of points to the fact that he's much better than Tyler Shelvin. Should we just say do it?
I don't think he'll be available in the fourth round. I think he probably will be gone.
Let's draft a big lad. But we're just going to give him. But I would like him to drop like 20-odd pounds. I want it. You know what I mean? Even more if I could. But Marion Hobby will kick his ass, I think.
Yeah,
let's go. That's my message to Marion Hobby. You've got a massive ass to kick, and I want you to kick it. Right, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
He's in. So we're going into round four now. It's exciting, isn't it? Pick 115. Delmar Glaze, a tackle. Andrew Phillips, a cornerback, who I'm quite high on. Kalen King. Mekki Wingo, from another defensive tackle. But I think we've now doubled up on defensive tackle, Nathan.
And, yeah, we don't need that.
You know, that's out of the way. Braylon Allen is a bigger running back, 6'1".
What, 235 pounds for a running back?
Big lad, big rumble.
He's 20 years old as a rookie.
Yeah, that I think he's tempting. Tempting. Let's just see.
It's good value as well.
Yeah, it's good value there. So, you know, I like the sound of it. 6'1", 235 pounds. He's a junior. Rate 83.4 on NFL Draft Buzz. He's part of the he made Bruce Feldman's 2023 freaks list. So I don't know. I think that's a legitimate option there in the fourth round. I also like this guy, Andrew Phillips. He's a feisty cornerback, but he's also 5'10", so not a big guy. Again, he's a DJ Turner type of dude. Malik Washington there. We've not picked up any wide receivers yet, Nathan.
Yeah, that's a good shout. That's a good shout.
But we can only take what the draft gives us, I would say.
Yeah, there's not much value now, is there, a wide receiver?
Javon Baker is supposed to be pretty good. Luke McCaffrey. I might go for Javon Baker.
It's bad value, though, isn't it?
141, 142, I don't know. Mid-round, yeah. But I
quite like the sound of Braylon Allen. I think maybe, I don't know, though, because Chase Brown is, like, I was really impressed with Chase Brown last year. I think he's got a lot more to give.
Are you comfortable with those two guys, quicker, speedier, smaller guys, being the workhorses? Maybe they can, maybe they will. Maybe this is too high for a running back. Maybe, maybe.
Zach Moss's contract, is that a 2-year deal, is
it? Yeah, it is 2 years. Yeah.
So you don't really need a running back, do you? Like, let's be honest, I think them two are good enough. I'm willing to give them the chance there. Fourth round, you could still get an impact player or someone to do something fairly quickly. I think we maybe don't go with the running back here. I think it's good enough value based on the ball we've got now to go for a wide receiver. I don't think there's anyone that jumps out. So I think maybe we need to be going cornerback here, son, to just give ourselves a bit of depth.
Well, let's have a look, shall we? We passed up Mike Sainristil still last time. We've got Andrew Phillips, who I quite like, and who our very own Andrew Dockerell mocked to us last in this latest mock draft. Kalen King. Yes.
Let's go Phillips. If Dockers is saying he's good, he's a smart lad. That's good value. The 111th ranked player in this draft. We're picking bottom five. Right. I think it's a good position to need. We're ticking that off. I think that's a smart move.
Right. He's in. The name is called. Right. We're now down to pick 149. Now, we're getting a few bits and pieces.
I feel like we've done a good job in this draft to like really get the positions of need. You know, you got two defensive tackles, you got two O-linemen, and now you've got a cornerback in. I think you can now start taking some punts on like just best player available, people you don't necessarily, you know, expect to do too much from the off.
So we've got a few interesting names here presented to us. We've got Jaheim Bell, a tight end from Florida State, who is supposed to be nothing more than a receiving sort of guy. So he's a bit undersized at 6'2". We've got Zach Zinter, who's supposed to be a good offensive guard. We've got Isaac Guerrero, a running back that I've mocked quite a lot, actually. But I just want to see what the wide receiver situation is. I think we've missed out on a lot there, Nathan, to be honest with you.
What's Taj Washington like?
Let's have a look, shall we? 5'9", so he's more of a
slot guy.
Slot guy, small guy. And this is what you're going to get at this end of the draft, really, I think. There's one name that we should keep an eye on. Josh Cephas at 231, so a bit way down yet, but he has been in for a visit to the for the Bengals, and Joe Goodberry rates him. So Taj Washington, you know, he's listed at 5'10" here. Good hair, good solid hair, I'd say.
Mm.
Yeah, so maybe
we need someone quicker, really, though, didn't we? He doesn't. He's not going to be your T. Higgins replacement, is he? But I don't think.
Let's have a look at Jaheim Bell. I'm not so keen on him, but he's there, and we could do with a bit of a backup situation. Slot receiving tight end. He does struggle in blocking. It needs improvement physically as well, so the scout reports he lacks the traditional build for a standard NFL tight end. Would you just use him as a slot receiver? You could use him, you know, strictly as that. So this one's a bit tricky, isn't it? Because there are lots of names and positions here all over the shop now. We're getting some safeties, we're getting a few other cornerbacks. I think go for Guerrero.
Tell me more.
Well, it's someone that Doc has picked. I've mocked him a couple of times. He's from Louisville. He's 6 foot, 221
pounds. Looks like a nice hand in that picture. He looks like a very friendly young man.
That's right. A 4.3340. So he's shit off a shovel, this lad. I think he's pretty good. Excellent blocker on the outside. Blends impressive size and speed. Brings a dense and strong build. Don't we all, Nathan? Don't we all? elite speed and agility. I mean, that's down here, round five. I'm going to.
I think I'm happy with that. Yeah, that's yeah. I don't mind that.
All right. Okay. Into round six. This is quite fun, actually. This is good, isn't it? I've been doing this every night on my own for the past 2 months. Right. What do you think about linebacker Joe Batch is signed? We've still got Pratt and Wilson. It's a bit surprised that our old pal Marcus Bailey has been resigned. Now that might still happen, I think, but.
Yeah, it's surprising that. It's something we didn't really talk about. But he always seemed like a fairly sort of solid contributor, good on special teams. I mean, quite surprised, really, in some ways, that he hasn't come back. I mean, yeah, I think linebacker is a position that's just been so... we've been so content at, really, for the last couple of years. It's just not really... You know, we've got a sort of nice room of quality players. I don't think there's any contracts that have been needed to really... you know, people are allowed to move on with free agency or anything. So it's been quite a settled play. So if there was value there, I think at this stage in the draft, it would just be worth taking a punt.
No, I agree. Right, let's see what the board is giving us for our round six selections. We've got four picks left, Nathan. We've got a linebacker, Tommy Eichenberg from Ohio State. We've just selected a running back, so Blake Watson, we don't need to look at you. Zion Tupola-Fatui, an edge from Washington. Tanner McLachlan, tight end. This is where I'm going to start looking at tight ends, Nathan, I reckon.
We need a wide receiver, though, so that's the
problem. We do, but there's nothing here. Nothing here at the moment. Now, Juwan Briggs, a defensive tackle, is coming in for the local pro day. So that's pretty cool. Now the next available wide receiver is Jordan Whittington at 216.
It's insane. There's a guy on here called McAllen Castles.
That's right.
That absolutely outrageous name, isn't it?
Yeah. And Josh Cephas at 231. Now there's some good names here. We're going to be struggling to do the name game because we're just not going to surprise each other now, are we? But I've got my eye on this lad, Tip Ryman, tight end, 6'5", 271 pounds, Illinois. Supposed to be more of a receiving sort of chap. Displays powerful blocking abilities, though, with a solid base and effective hand usage, managing to control defenders and maintain blocks. Good burst off the line with his size. Excels in the run game.
Didn't drop a single pass last season.
I mean, come on now. This level, down this end. He's an in-blocking tight end, but he's got some What do you reckon? He sounds all right, I reckon.
Yeah, I think this is a good time, just a decent value as well. Is it 190 versus Apic at 194? Yeah, I like that.
All right. Right, here we go then. Ah, we've got another one. Right. Now let's have a look here. 214. Josh Cephas is there. Aeneas Smith. Let's have a look at him. That's a wide receiver.
This is getting right down in the trenches now, isn't it? In round 6 and 7. My knowledge is certainly not.
Well, I think this is throw a dart at a board, isn't it? And hope for the best now, I think. So, Aeneas Smith is 5'9", right? He's obviously a slot receiver. Smith's versatility allows him to impact games in multiple phases. Remember, we've got the returning game to think about as well, including receiving, rushing, and special teams, showing renowned for his ability to create yards after the catch. Natural quickness and fluidity, you know, so sounds good. Let's have a look at Josh Cephas, another wide receiver who Joe Goodberry likes and is coming for a visit as well from the... let's have a look.
4.62 40-yard dash. That's a bit on the...
It's not slow. He's 6'2", though, so he's a bigger sort of chap. Has enough speed to threaten the seam, balanced, savvy route runner with top field awareness. He also has value as a catch and run threat. Has the strong hands any NFL wide receiver coach would covet. Tracks it. Excellent blocker. I think I might take him over Aeneas Smith, to be honest. What do you reckon?
Yeah, happy with that. Yep.
Okay. Let's have a look. How many we got left? So this is... We've got two left, Nathan.
Seventh round.
I know. Now, Bub Means, another receiver, will go higher. I've seen him as early as the second round, which is quite a discrepancy, I must say. Any positions you want to fill out, do you think? Anything that you want to see? Another cornerback, maybe?
Would we consider... I don't know too much about the special teams. Would we consider drafting another punter? Because that's another thing in the seventh round, just to get ahead of the game in terms of restricted free agents. Like, is there anyone like Cam Little?
Torrey Taylor from Iowa, that's a punter. Ryan Rakow is the... Rakow, I think. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. But Rakow, too, he's the highest rated punter.
Oh, sorry, Cam Little's kicker. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah. So those are the two guys, Ryan Rakow and Torrey Taylor. I think you can probably wait to the last pick, to be honest, for that.
Yeah.
Any other guy? Omar Spates, I've had my eye on. He's a linebacker, logged over 300 tackles in his career at Oregon State before transferring to LSU. He's been underrated across the entire span, and he's one of the 2024 NFL Draft's biggest sleepers.
Oh, great, perfect.
And I think he's good. I think he's good in pursuit as well. So, shall we?
Let's go with him. Yeah, like, solid handle as well, Omar Spates.
And do you want to go a special teams for your final pick?
We've obviously made a number of picks here. We've got a lot of players coming in.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any obvious position of need at this stage. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. I don't think it'd be a bad shout to go for one of these punters to bring in as a bit of competition for Brad Robbins. But I don't know if there's anyone else. I just go back to the board a second and see if there's anyone else that we think.
So we've got a quarterback. We've got a safety. Kimani Vidal is an interesting guy. I would pick him up as an undrafted free agent. He's an excellent blocker. 5'7", speedy little chap.
I think go with the punter. I honestly do. I think if he's the best punter in the draft, then I think we bring him in as a bit of competition and see how we go there.
Evan Anderson is a defensive tackle that has met with the Bengals. He's at 268, so he could be an undrafted free agent at some point. Let's have a look. No real... there's your favourite guy.
Storm Duck is outrageous.
Oh, we're ruining our name game here, Nathan.
This is absolutely bonkers, some of these.
Right, okay. So Ryan Rakow or Torrey Taylor?
Let's go Rekow.
Right.
He's 6'4". So, I mean, I like the idea of a 6'4" punter. Yeah, I like that.
So there you go. There's our first ever sort of mock draft that we've done together on air, Nathan. And I have to say, I don't mind that at all. I really don't. Now, obviously, the draft is not the be all and end all. It's again, it's another step on the ladder, isn't it, to constructing a roster. So, again, we might want to pick up a veteran cornerback if we can. We might want to pick up a veteran wide receiver if we can to fill in the slot if we're not happy with what we've got. But let's just have a quick look at what we've got. So first round, Talisi Fuaga. Very happy about that. Second round, Chris Jenkins, defensive tackle from Michigan. Third round, Cedric Van Pran Granger, the offensive, well, the center from Georgia. And for our second, third round pick, Tavondre Sweat from Texas. Into the fourth, Andrew Phillips, the cornerback from Kentucky. We go to Kentucky again, this time Louisville, to select running back Isaac Guerrero. We've got Tip Ryman from Illinois, the tight end. And then we finally go wide receiver with Josh Cephas. And then in the seventh round, our second seventh round pick, Omar Spates from LSU, the linebacker. And then finally, the BYU punter, Ryan Rekow. So there we go. Oh, Nathan, what do you say? I mean, I'm quite happy with that haul.
I think it's a great haul in the trenches. You know, I think to get Fuaga and Van Pran Granger.
I can't even say him.
That gives you a lot of depth. A lot of depth there to sort of, you know, really sort of fill out the roster from that perspective. I think you're worried about receiver if you're going to be worried about anything. You got Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, fantastic. Who's your wide receiver three? Because Cephas is not going to come in and be that guy.
No.
Sort of sixth round pick. So you really got to hope that Yoshivas, Trenton Irwin, Charlie Jones, that's the battle for the number three spot. Which I still don't think is a problem. You know, Trenton Irwin's flash. I think he's probably hit his ceiling. Trenton Irwin, I don't think he's necessarily got anything that we've not seen before. Yoshivas, as good as a season as he had, is he going to be the one that can really like push on? For me, it's probably the guy you want to see more from. And I think it's a very, very interesting season for him is Charlie Jones. I thought he flashed. He's got a bit of speed about him. You know, I'm quite excited to see what he can offer. It'll be interesting to see how comfortable the Bengals feel with him being the number three guy. It's, like I said, it's a good battle there. So I'm not too worried about the fact that we're a little bit light there, like I said, especially with Gesicki coming in and drawing away a few of those targets. So, yeah, overall, I think it's a very, very steady draft. We've hit a few positions. Yeah, I don't think there's anything we've missed.
I like it. I love that. I love that draft. I think it's great. Right, okay, just time for some correspondences. So let's go to that. Jamie at Trekwhite Beaster, thank the heavens that it's nearly draft week. I've been addled by the debates, mixed up by mock drafts. Bring on the 25th. I agree. As I say, I've been doing like three, four a day, maybe more for the past 2 months. So it always gets to this stage where you think, right, man, I just, you know, you go around your head with arguments. And I think, you know, Bengals fans on Twitter go around their heads. And often you just arrive back at the first player that you first selected. Do you know what I mean? There's a reason why you selected him. But you do tend to go around the houses a little bit, and I'm ready. Are you ready? I think I'm ready.
Yeah, I do think the draft, as fun as it is, after a certain while, there's only so much you can analyse and things like that. So I'm quite excited to get to it and see how it all pans out.
Tom Lawrence at Tommy Jalapeno.
Solid handle.
He says, reaccione. And then I asked him, to what? And he said, sorry, I just got excited and was missing it. So... for you, Tommy Jalapeno, let's have a look. Let's play you. Let's give you a bit of a reaction, eh?
Reaction is ole, ole, ole. Reaction is ole, ole, ole.
There you go. And of course, we will return with Reazione when we've got something to react to. John Kelly at JK_NIBengal68. If the right offensive tackle falls, we really should be taking him, but I'm tempted by best player available. There is obviously going to be a run on QBs and wide receivers. Which means 18, we could get a top 10 ranked player who would be an immediate game changer if one of the top two cornerbacks or even an edge is there at 18. Let's go. I think we just proved in our mock draft, Nathan, that we both hit need and value there with Mr. Big Boy Fuaga, don't you think?
Yeah, agreed. And there's been a lot of mock drafts that I've seen where a lot of those tackles that we had, like Latham and Fuaga,
are gone.
So the fact that we had
Here's a question. Here's a backup. Here's a supplementary question. Then, if we were doing the draft right, and Fuaga was gone, and Latham was gone, and Mims and Alt and Fautanu and all those guys have gone, then you are thinking about a Jazan Newton, Johnny Newton. You are thinking about a Byron Murphy. You are thinking about Leatu Latu, maybe. Do you know what I mean? You might even think about a Brian. What's his chops?
Brian Thomas.
Yeah. What do you think? What if all those tackles have gone? What are you doing?
I'd go Byron Murphy, for sure. I think he'd be great on the interior of the defensive line. I think he's probably the best defensive tackle in the class. Good pass rusher. I think he'd add a lot to that. But I think, like you said, it'll be one of those tackles will be available. Even if it's the Fashino or Latham, Fuaga, one of those guys will be there, I think. And if they weren't, you'd like to think that maybe even some sort of, you know, fantastic talent like a Brock Bowers. I don't think we should take Brock Bowers, but if all of those tackles had gone, it might mean someone like him had dropped down. But yeah, I think we're in a nice spot. I'd love to see us be like 15. I think if you were like 15, you'd be guaranteed that a really good player would probably fall down to you. But I still think at 18, we've got some very nice options that will be available, as we saw when we just did our draft.
UK Wincinati fan at Bengal 90. Now, he quote tweets Andrew Russell, who's a fairly vocal chap on Twitter, and he doesn't know his onions, I have to say. And he lists the trench players drafted by in the Zach Taylor era by round. So the first, Jonah Williams, Miles Murphy. Second, Jackson Carman. Third, Zach Carter, Joseph Asai. Fourth, Volson, Sample, Shelvin, Deontay Smith, Michael Jordan, Ronnell Wren. 5 to the 7th, Kareem Hill, Adeniji, Gunter, Herbert. Now, Andrew's argument is that all of the best Bengals trench players have come via free agency, not via draft. So
it's a very interesting point. There's like, if you look back at that list, there's really not a player on there that you'd say...
Well, let's go through them real quick. Jonah Williams, I'd say, was a moderate success. He wasn't...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he was solid but not spectacular.
In some ways, I'd argue a slightly below moderate, just on the basis that we drafted him. Was it like 10th overall or something?
Yeah, I agree with that. He was
kind of expecting a very, very good.
But I didn't blame the Bengals for drafting him because he was the best tackle on the board at that point. So I don't think it's a weird one, isn't it? I mean,
moderate's probably about right, isn't it?
Miles Murphy, too early to say. Was anonymous for the first part of the season, came on stronger in the second half, so you hope, well, let's see what he does in this series. Jackson Carman, nope, terrible. Zach Carr at the moment, after two seasons, pretty below average, you'd have to say, that's being kind. Joseph Asai, up and down, a bit of a roller coaster for Asai, I'd say. Volson, I'd say a success at the moment.
A fourth round pick, the fact that you got some starting snaps out of him, or a lot of starting snaps out of him, is impressive. I think he's comfortably and unquestionably the weak link on that line. But I still think, for a fourth round pick, to get someone starting like that is good. Maybe he's still got a bit of a ceiling there to give us. But yeah,
we'll see. I'd say success just because he's for two seasons he started, and that's pretty remarkable for a fourth rounder, I'd say. Cam Sample, I'd say a moderate success, good rotational guy. You know, Tyler Shelvin, nope. Deontay Smith, nope. Michael Jordan, nope. Ronnell Wren, nope. And then you've got Khalid Kareem, had a couple of great plays in that Super Bowl run, but nothing more. Trey Hill hasn't been trusted, so no. Adeniji, though, ended up starting as a seventh rounder, started in the Super Bowl. I think that's actually, I know people will argue that he wasn't a great player, and he wasn't, but the production that we got out of him was pretty good, I'd say. Wouldn't you?
I mean, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, seventh round pick starting in the Super Bowl, it's more from like,
yeah, a necessity rather than,
anything else. But yeah, I know what you mean. He's still not a great player. And then, yeah.
Right. Gunter remains to be seen, although he doesn't look as though he's going to come on strong. And poor old Hubert, who had to retire because of injury. So, yeah. So UK Cincinnati fan says, if this continues, appreciate that not many high rounds shot, should we think about just accepting that they can't draft trenches well and simply spend there and the draft everywhere else? Joe elevating offensive line and Lou getting most of that, the secondary could work. I mean, it's an argument, isn't it, really, I think.
I mean, the Bengals are going to back themselves that they can draft players in the trenches. I know they've not been fantastic with it over the last couple of drafts in the Zach Taylor era, but you always got to back yourself. You know, the Bengals should be able to do that. They've got the scouting capabilities. They've got the coaches. I think that's something they just have to work on and improve on and learn from their mistakes. It shouldn't prohibit them from going down that position, especially like we were looking at on our mock draft. You know, we've gone heavy double dipping on the offensive and defensive lines. There's some very good players out there, especially where they're drafting. I think they've got to back themselves to get the most out of one of those guys there.
Dan Waite at DNKW. Although I understand it would be sensible to draft an offensive tackle in round one, I really, really fancy the idea of picking us a game-wrecking, offensive line battering, Geno Atkinsing three technique in round one. Who day? And I tell you what he wants. He wants Jazay Newton. He hasn't mentioned any names, but I think Dan would be extremely happy. And there is a very strong argument. You see lots of people on social media saying that Johnny Newton is the best defensive player in this draft. Forget anybody else. You know, he is, you know, he's very comparable, shall we say, in terms of athletic traits and statistics and all the rest of it to Aaron Donald. Not saying he's going to be anywhere near as good as Aaron Donald, but he looks like Aaron Donald in stature. So I think him more so than Byron Murphy, but what I've been reading, and Andrew Dockrell loves Jazay Newton. So, I mean, yeah, it's tempting. You know me, Nathan, I always like, you know, my guys on the defensive line.
I think if you were to go defensive line like Johnny Newton, it'd be a good pick, because it does worry me. The defense last year was, it's worse than I think we remember it. Like, they really weren't that. The second DJ Reader went down, they really couldn't stop anything.
Exactly,
DJ Reader is gone now. You've also got Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson aren't getting any younger on the outside. And I just think from a pass rush perspective, Sheldon Rankins is a good player. You know, that was a solid...
Well, that's it. You've got to remember, we've got three technique... No, that's right. We've got three technique covered with Sheldon Rankins a little bit. And that's not to say we shouldn't draft, because, again, the draft is for drafting talent, not necessarily for need. If you can hit both, if you can check both boxes, need and value, then that would be fantastic. But, you know, the Bengals like to draft for the year after. Do you know what I mean? If they've got someone out of contract a year down the line, they will draft someone now to take his place. Yeah, I like Jazay Newton as well. I like him a lot, but I'm kind of sold on my offensive tackles this year. Right, Cartoon Steve Bold at Cartoon Boldy. I'm saying we should offer T the same deal Smith got. He's a great comparison in terms of numbers, but is a Heisman winner and has shown less susceptibility to injuries. It will be a win for Mulugueta and should be workable cap-wise. Now then. Right. interesting. We got asked earlier what do we think of Devonta Smith's deal, and do we think Smith's deal would get T signed? From a production perspective, they're very similar and Smith has missed fewer snaps through injury. So Devonta Smith, I think it's 3 years, $75 million dollar contract, $51 million guaranteed. I think the big thing here is that the Eagles have signed their top two receivers for big money, showing that it can be done. Now, whether it should be done is another matter, but that's for the Eagles. There's lots of stats flying around at the moment, but it does show you there is a pathway to signing two top receivers. And a lot of people are saying, well, why the hell haven't Bengals done this, or should the Bengals do this? I don't know. It's very tricky. I've got to sit down and think about this. But the guy that UK Boomer at _UK_Boomer says, T. Higgins' career per game averages 4.4 receptions, 63.5 yards per game, 0.4 TDs. Devonta Smith, very similar, 4.8 yards per reception, 63.6 yards per game, etc., etc. His production's a bit better in terms of durability, I think. What do you think about that? I mean, I'm surprised that the Eagles did it, and they've tied up Devonta Smith early as well, before any fifth year option has been even discussed. Do you know what I mean? So I think people have seen this and have quite rightly questioned why we haven't done anything like that. What do you think, Nathan?
It's really tricky, the T. Higgins situation, because, I mean, we, you know, just thinking about our mock draft and thinking about the draft in general, they're not going to take a receiver in the first round, I don't think, or possibly in the second. And it does make you think, if T it isn't sticking around long term, I really don't think T's going to be happy if you try and franchise tag him again. I know that's been talked about as a possibility, but I think he would really kick up a bit of a fuss next year if they tried doing that to him. It just keeps him, you know, sort of constantly kicking him that contract situation down the line. He gets another year older. You know, I don't think he'll be very pleased with that. I don't know what we're going to do about replacing that level of production. And behind him, there's a lot of question marks, as we said earlier. You know, you've got some solid receivers, but nothing spectacular.
Which is why the argument, perhaps drafting another one higher up than we did this year is an option, because you want that talent to step in.
But the problem is if you don't go for one in round one, the middle of round two, yes, you can get some good players in the middle of round two, but I don't know if you're guaranteeing yourself by any means a player that's going to play anywhere near the standard of T. Higgins. And I think if all of a sudden you got Ja'Marr Chase, great. The potential drop-off there to the wide receiver two is enormous. You know, I don't think there's anyone on our roster at the moment that's going to be able to step into that number two role. I really don't think that, as good as Yoshivas looked last year as a late rounder, Charlie Jones is okay, Trent Irwin, they're all solid like players to have on your roster as like wide receiver three, four options. But I just do not think they're going to get anywhere
near. So are you advocating then the Bengals should sign T. Higgins to a long-term deal?
It's really the one thing that I think I would think about, and I haven't got this in front of me, is to look at who else is going to be available in free agency next year from outside the building that could step in and play wide receiver.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Because I think that's something to consider. I think it's all well and good talking about the draft, but you can't draft, it doesn't matter where the Bengals draft next year, you're probably not going to go receiver and then plug a guy straight in as a rookie and he's going to be your number two wide receiver. It's too much of a gamble. You know, it takes wide receivers a while to adapt to life in the NFL. So I think that's probably what you've got to look at. Is there a guy that perhaps is slightly better value and slightly cheaper for the Bengals to go and get that could be, you know, a wide receiver too, is were T. Higgins to leave? I love T. Higgins. He's a great guy. I thought the way he's conducted himself in a fairly sticky contract situation has been admirable, really. I know he sort of talked about a trade. He's coming out yesterday saying, look, I want to be back here. You know, we've had his mum on the podcast and she's a class act as well. He's a guy you want to stick around. But obviously with Mulugeta negotiating on his side, I can imagine that the guaranteed money he wants, the assurances and the numbers are far beyond what the Bengals really would want to pay for a guy that's a very good receiver but has missed time. And I know a lot of people say, oh, he's a wide receiver one, he's a wide receiver one. I think he would be, but he wouldn't. He's not a top 15, 20 receiver in the league.
I think he is.
I think he might squeeze into the top 20, maybe. But I mean, I still think that for the money he might want, with Ja'Marr Chase coming up, we've got Burrow's contract going up, it's a lot of money to pump into those positions. And I wouldn't be against looking around for a slightly, because at the end of the day, we're going to have to be with that Joe Burrow's contract and Jamar Chase's contract that we know are going to happen. You've got to be thinking about where can we make some savings on this roster. You want everyone to play. I mean, we look silly really last year when we let Jesse Bates go, but we had to. You know, Jesse Bates played at an all-pro level last year. He was unbelievable in Atlanta. And, you know, a lot of us last year were like, wow, we got to keep Jesse Bates. There's always going to be a stronger narrative to keep T. Higgins because he's a sexy player in a sexy position. You know, you always want guys that you're getting on the back of your jerseys to stay. He gets more media coverage than someone like Jesse Bates did in Cincinnati. But the reality is you got to make hard choices. And everyone wants T to hang around. But for the money that he's most likely asking for, that's going to have to be at a compromise for other positions on the roster. And yeah, that's my only worry with it. I mean, if they got a deal done with him, I wouldn't have a problem with it at all. Great. It's not my money being pumped in there, but you'd have to be asking yourself, so where's that? Where are we sort of pulling money? Like, what position group are we pulling money away from on this roster that might be a weakness for us? Because it's no point us having T. Higgins and, you know, Jamar Chase out there for the next 5-6 years, but actually teams are running the ball down our throat every game. We're getting beaten, you know, 27-23 every game. So, you know, that's my only worry there.
No, I think I'm with you. It's a tricky one. Anyway, let's finish up with Chris Roberts, shall we, at 1066. Chris, who will we pick at 18? I think we'll sort of reveal our favourite players next week and who we might expect the Bengals to pick next week. Will we play in Germany? There are still the questions we need answers to as the days to the draft and the schedule release tick by. That's right, the schedule release, as I mentioned earlier, will be released soon after the draft, and we'll find out if the Bengals will be over in Europe this year. If they do, they'll be playing the Panthers in Germany, so that's something to look out for. If it's not this year, I really expect them to be over in Germany next year. And do listen out for what we've got planned for our own trip back over to Cincinnati in November. So that's something to look out for. I believe Touchdown Trips will be sort of sorting out a registration page pretty soon. So pay attention, attenzione to our social channels, of course, on Twitter, X at @WhoDay_UK, Bengals UK on Facebook, and Bengals_UK on Instagram. So look out for those. I don't know, Chris. I mean, as I say, if it's not the Panthers this year, it'll be, I think they will be over in Germany next year. So that's kind of exciting, isn't it? It'd be nice for them to come over to the UK. But, you know, got to share the love. And I do think the NFL will look to position NFL games in as many different places over the globe as possible. Because why not? Why shouldn't they, really? Right. I think that's it. I enjoyed that, Nathan. I enjoyed doing a mock draft together. And
yeah,
I think we can be quite happy with that, actually. I think, yeah, pretty happy with that. Bit of a controversial, I think some solid picks, like you say, hitting some needs. Bit of a punt on the big lad there. And a punter at the end of the day, so very good. Okay, Nathan, we'll speak next week. And thanks to everyone that listened in. Joe Goodbury will be with us next week for our pre-draft episode. And maybe we'll get around to doing episode 250 at some point in the near future. That's the plan, at least. But for now, it is a Who Day from Why.
And Who Day from me. Cheers, guys.
to the stars. Weaving through space, our cosmic chase defies the night. Blast through time. Blast through time. Blast through time. Of sound, stellar winds, they can't hold us down. Accelerate,
accelerate.
Past comet trails in hyperspace.
And it should also be noted that the views and opinions expressed within this podcast do not reflect those of the Cincinnati Bengals organization.